Welcome to the Tim Hill Podcast. If you have the time, you can not only listen to the episodes, but you can also watch all the shows, and you'll find the links in the description below. Thank you. Boom, I'm in the room. Good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Everyday Conversations Regarding Mental Health or Mental Wellbeing. And, thanks for being there. Now, this evening, you know what the show's all about? It's all about taking the stigma out of mental health, mental wellbeing. Now, you're here because there's nothing on the telly. And I'm coming to you live from the old Hill Manor. And I'm your host, Lord Hill. Now, I'm still looking for guests. I'm still after guests, UK-based guests, if I can get them, to come on the show and have a chat about a different aspect of mental health or mental well-being. So you've noticed that we've now moved to a Wednesday from Thursday. There's a few reasons for that. Thursdays is a fairly busy day for me, and I don't get time to prep the show, and it's all done at a rush. So that's why, one of the reasons. Another one is we're coming up, hopefully, I'll have the new motorbike soon, and I'll come on to a little bit about motorbikes in a bit. But what I'm going to have a look at tonight is going to look at sort of an overview, maybe look towards suicide, death, and bereavement. I had a chat with somebody not so long ago about this subject. Now, what I would say is it's a difficult one to approach, but we will approach it. Evening, Keith. Welcome. If there is anybody else there out there, give us the old thumbs up and what's the name? Stick a comment in. Let us know where you're watching from, where you're getting this from, and we'll try and include you in the chat. If you've got any questions or any comments, pop them in the chat as well. Oh, good evening, Catherine. Welcome. Now, I don't know whether you heard the advert for Marie Curie. That's trending at the moment on, we get it on some of the commercial radio stations. It's on Gold at the moment. They play it on Gold quite a bit. And it's such a depressing, so depressing. Why somebody like Marie Curie come up with such a depressing advert for bereavement? Now, bereavement, yes, it's painful. It's something that happens naturally when somebody dies. You've got the initial shock, and then you're going to, for want of another word, the grieving process. But what you really want to be doing is, instead of mourning the loss, is celebrate the life that was. Because the person, I mean, they're still there. They'll still be there in your heart, although they're gone physically. You still have your fond memories of them. You still have all of that. You still have what they were. And yeah, you miss them. You miss them a lot. I still miss Dave and Sandra. I mean, now it's getting on for 17, 18 years ago. So, and we're still, in fact, Bro and I had a chat about them this evening over the dinner table. So we still talk about them. They're still in our hearts. But this Marie Curie advert is, I don't know what it is about it. It just seems that it's trying to put somebody into an even darker place. I don't know whether you've heard it, but it's a really miserable advert. And I'm sure they could do something much better with it. So, yeah, that's still in your memories. And that's important. It's important to grieve, obviously. But also, you need to move on. I mean, we lost Harry getting on for, I guess this year will be 3 years. Still think about him, still miss the old phone calls. But life does move on. And those that's left behind are left to pick up the pieces. So I said I was going to talk a bit about a motorbike. Now, for me, I've had a little bit of a dark mood recently. I've mentioned it a bit before. I've got my tinnitus is so bad at the moment. It's just, the only way I can explain it is, remember when you go into a really noisy environment, go into a nightclub and it's boom, 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 and you come outside and your ears are ringing. And it tends to be really loud. For me, at the moment, that is 24/7. There's no let up for it. I've got different apps on my hearing aids where I can introduce some different noise to try and counteract it, to take my brain away from that noise. But it's there. And it's wearing. It's difficult to get to sleep. If you wake up during the night, it's difficult to get back to sleep. Couple that with a rheumatoid flare. A rheumatoid flare, I mean, we've got it just about under control, but I do occasionally get what they call a rheumatoid flare. And that's a real bit of inflammation in a joint. And the pain is excruciating. And you know, the way I cope with it is I take ibuprofen for it. But when that is coupled with the tinnitus, it does put the odd suicidal thought into your head of wanting to just to end it all, just to have it stop for 5 minutes, just get some respite from it. Now, I will say that I'm not the sort of person that will go and take my own life. Put that out there. And I'm sure everybody, on occasions, thinks about taking their own life and how to go about it. And I've thought about that. And for me, one way I could do it is ride my motorbike into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. And the thing that puts me off doing that is, A, it'll ride the motorbike off. But if I survive, I'm going to be an even more wreck than I am now. So I'm not likely to do it. So that's the sort of, that's where this darkness comes from for me. Now, I know there's an awful lot of people out there. I haven't got what they call full-on PTSD. I've got mild, little bit of mild PTSD. And what sets it off for me is, I don't know whether you've ever smelt dead and decaying bodies. There's a particular smell to it. And that throws me back to some scenes that I saw when I was in Kosovo. And that occasionally plays on the old mind. I don't often get it, but yeah. Occasionally you get that with a death, and it's not it's not pleasant, and it just takes us back to that time that I had to witness some of these mass graves. Not nice, not clever, but that's what triggers off that memory. So for me, that is a little bit of mild PTSD, just remembering that and having a little bit of a moment, and maybe not a nightmare, but it just relives it, which ain't all that good. It's not clever, it's not funny, but it's something in the past that you can't change. So the way to deal with it is accept what's happened and put it to the back of your mind. It's over. It can't do any more to you. But for lots of people, that sort of thing, that sort of trauma plagues them, and they find it really difficult to deal with. And the best way of dealing with that is to find somebody that's been through that sort of thing, somebody that was with you at the time, and talk it through. And more often than not, that's a good way of dealing with some trauma, particularly battlefield trauma. I mean, I've been on patrol where we've had guys that have been blown up, and having to deal with that and the aftermath of all of it, and dealing with it at the time. Nowadays, when that sort of thing happens, there's a process in place called TRIM. And it takes about 3 months to go through this process. But it does deal with it. It does look after that aspect of trying to eliminate the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder later down the road. Because the sooner you deal with a trauma, the sooner it could be dealt with. And it doesn't have to be a battlefield trauma. Lots of people that I know, lots of people I've spoken to, they've carried childhood trauma with them all their lives, and it hasn't been dealt with until it's got out of hand. Now, a childhood trauma can be lots of different things. Lots of children see stuff that they shouldn't see, and that can have an effect on them. For instance, a child where a parent has died suddenly, that could be a trauma that they've carried with them all their lives. They blame themselves for it. They blame themselves because their parent has lost their life. And it's even worse if the parent has taken their own life. And the child then bottles it all up and thinks that it's their fault that they've done it. That can really have a devastating effect on somebody that they carry with them for a long time. Somebody just out walking a dog comes across a dead body in the woods or somewhere. That can be a traumatic thing that triggers something. And quite often, that sort of thing is never dealt with. I don't know, you see it. I forget the case, but somebody found somebody that had been murdered, reported it and everything like that, had given a statement, and that's it, job finished. Don't want to see him again. But then that person has got that trauma of seeing that dead body. And that can trigger all sorts of things. So what they should do in that particular sort of incident they should be trimmed. Because what you see, there are ways of dealing with it. And the way that the military do it is if there's a traumatic incident kicks off, there's a team that's mounted that goes in 72 hours after the event. They get all the details of what's happened and everybody that's involved, whether they're directly involved or indirectly involved, and they assess them, they talk to them, whether there's an individual brief for somebody that's more susceptible to it or somebody that's so close to it. You'll have a group debrief, and then you'll have a whole group brief. And everybody's assessed. They're told that it's not unusual to have the sort of feelings. It's not unusual to replay it in your mind several times. It's not unusual to lose a bit of sleep. But over time, those symptoms die down and go away, or should do. So the team come back in at the 30-day point. They reassess everybody again to see how they've been, see what has changed, whether they've got back to normal routine or whether they're still struggling. And at any time during that first period, they can be referred on to see specialists. And then the team will reassess, and anybody that does need pointing in the direction of professional help, they do that. And then the team will come back in at the 3-month point, reassess everybody again, and hopefully that's everybody's back to normal. That's a quick way of dealing with a traumatic incident. And that generally has been proved to prevent post-traumatic stress disorder settling in. And any time during that period or after that period, people are struggling with it, then they can get professional help. And that's the important part. It's getting that professional help. And if we could do that for everybody, you would see the back end of PTSD. But there are cases of Falklands veterans still coming forward having had those problems. And it's recognising the symptoms. You know, I mean, some of the symptoms are a lack of sleep. You're drinking a lot more. You're a lot more irritable. You've got a very short fuse. If your behaviour changes, and people, you quite often hear people say, well, you don't see him himself, he's not normally like that, then that could be one of the indicators that there's something not right. And if you do see somebody that you normally see that's generally fine and jovial and all the rest of it, and they don't see himself, and you've got the time, and that's the key, having a bit of time to be able to go and say, are you all right, mate? And the normal answer is, yeah, I'm fine. Now, are you really all right? You don't seem yourself. And that gives them an opening to open up. And when they do start opening up, all it needs sometimes is just having these two is just to listen. You don't need to say an awful lot. Just nod and chip in occasionally. If they're starting to dry up a bit, encourage them to open up a bit more. And sometimes that's all it takes to help somebody. And you generally find that you've done that, they tend to feel a lot better about it. And if they're still feeling a bit not themselves, then you can say, well, have you thought about seeing your doctor or having a chat with so-and-so, or... And it just helps prevent somebody going down that dark alley, that darkness, that sort of that horribleness that sometimes envelops you. You feel that, like, there's no way out. There's no help. But there is. There's always help. There's always somebody out there to help. And sometimes it might just be a stranger. It might be a professional. Go and see your doctor. For us veterans, we're lucky. We've got veterans groups. And for us that live down here in the South, we are extra lucky because we've got even more. Because there's so many veterans live in this area, there's quite a few different veterans groups that are out there that can give that help. And for me, something that takes my mind off of it is I've got a little BSA Bantam out in the toy shed here at the Hill Manor. And I'm doing it up at the moment. Now, let me tell you a little story. There's inside the clutch housing, there's a primary drive chain that goes from the drive to the back wheels and to the bottom of the small end or the big end where the piston goes up and down. There's a chain that connects the two. The chain was really slack and had about an inch and a half of play on it, which made it didn't run particularly well. So I've ordered a new chain. The chain came. But a chain didn't have a link in it, which I thought was odd. So I got the old chain off because that had a link in, popped that off, and trying to get the new chain on just wouldn't have none of it. So I've ended up taking all the clutch parts out, taking a clutch. So I'm thinking, I can't get the front sprocket off, the back sprocket's off, and there's all bits in my hands. I'm thinking, what do I do with this? So I rung the people up and said, look, how do you get this chain on? Oh, we've sent you the wrong chain. There should be a link with it. Now you tell me. So now I've got a new chain, the one with a link, and so I've got to go and fit that. But I've now got a load of doobie what's-its, clutch parts, to get back in, and they're on springs, and I needed a special tool to be able to compress the springs to get the big circlip pin to hold it all together. So I'm waiting for that to come. And I thought, while I'm at it, I might as well change the clutch. So I've got some new clutch pads. So that takes out a bit of stress. Or does it add to it? It certainly produces a few profane syllables. But there you go. That's a look at trauma, looking at, so we've covered a bit about bereavement and that awful Marie Curie advert on the radio. I don't know why they've done it. It just doesn't seem good. But there is a way through it. And if you do see somebody that's not themselves, then you can always chip in and ask them if they're okay. So until next Wednesday, so we're going Wednesday every week now, I'm still looking for guests. I still would like to see some guests, and that would be brilliant. If you know somebody that would like to come on the show and have a chat about anything to do with mental well-being, the more people talk about it, the more people can talk about it because they see other people talking about it, and it opens stuff up, and it's okay not to be okay. So that's it for this week. I hope you've taken something from it. If there is anybody out there that would like to come on the show, you can find out to contact me in the description below and all the rest of it. So until next Wednesday, and I'll hopefully, inshallah, have a guest on. So until then, TTFN. Ta-ta for now. Welcome to the Tim Hill Podcast. If you have the time, you can not only listen to the episodes, but you can also watch all the shows, and you'll find the links in the description below. Thank you.